Welcome to the Mill Creek View, Tennessee podcast with your host, Steve Abramowitz, Managing Director of Mill Creek Financial Partners.
Hi again, friends, and welcome to the Mill Creek View, Tennessee podcast, episode 6. I have another great show for you with always an interesting person making a positive change in our global community. This time, special guest Heather Faith, former president of a little group called the Blount County Republican Women's Club. But first, for more information about the Mill Creek View podcast, visit us on Amazon Music or Spotify at Mill Creek View Tennessee podcast. And don't forget to subscribe to the show so you won't miss a single episode. Y'all got me to number 4 in the country. Unreal. People want truth, huh? Thank you for listening. And welcome to our People in the News episode, where I interview people who are making an impact and are lovers of truth. This week, we are talking with Heather Fair, no longer with Republican Women's Club, but still Blount County. Hello, Ms. Fair. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Thank you. How are you doing, Steve?
I'm doing great. It's a beautiful day. Sun always shines here in Memphis, or at Memphis. What am I talking about? Nashville. Before we get into the whole Blount County Republican Women's Club controversy, please tell us a little about yourself. Are you a native East Tennessean?
No, I am not. You may hear the absence of a twang in my voice. I'm actually a Southern California native. Wow. So I, up until 4 years ago, I lived my entire life in San Diego County and within about a 20-mile radius of the same area. And a good friend of mine was moving here to Tennessee, and I came to visit and absolutely fell in love with Blount County. That's where my friend and her husband live. And I just, I had been looking for other, I'd been looking to move from California and considering it. But I hadn't found a place that I could see myself living in. This was the first place it truly felt like home. And so I came out to visit, and then 6 months later, I was living here.
You, like me, are originally from California. I made a 20-year pit stop in Washington State before finding Tennessee, so sounds very familiar. But do you have family here or any deep roots? And why do you consider it home?
I don't have deep roots. I mean, other than it does feel like home. I feel like I do. I wish I had moved here 30 years ago. But I do not have any family here. All my family is on the West Coast. I have two of my... three adult children are in the Seattle area. My youngest is in Nevada, and then I have some relatives in the San Diego area.
Got it.
But well, yeah, I'm out here by myself.
Seattle as well.
Other than my friend who lived here that I came out to visit. So it truly was rebuilding my life. I did not realize how much you have in place as far as friends and connections and what have you until you pick everything up and move to a new city and just having to rebuild all of that all over again. But I enjoy it. I wouldn't change it for anything.
Nice. Well, tell my listeners that don't know what the demographics and makeup of the residents and voters of Blount County are and what you love about it.
So Blount County, well, it's absolutely gorgeous. It's right in the foothills of the Great Smoky Mountains, and it's close to Knoxville. I mean, I technically work in Knoxville. I live in Blount County, and it's a 15-minute commute. One of the things that I noticed that really struck me, in coming from California, you may relate to this, was people waving and just being friendly. That was totally. One of the things that I noticed in the week or so that I was here when I was visiting my friend initially before moving here, was having strangers wave at you and smile, and everybody is in a huge hurry. So that made a huge impression on me. The lack of traffic, although now Blount County's getting busier, there's more development, but it's not anything like San Diego. I still can appreciate the difference there. And it's funny, I had a thought. I was here a couple of days on that visit, and I thought to myself, I could put a Trump sticker on my car if I lived here and nobody would break my window or scream at me when I walked out to my car or anything like that. So politics, the political environment here did factor into my decision, which I never imagined that would be a factor in moving, but it definitely did hold an appeal knowing that people are more open-minded here than they are in California in regards to politics.
You're so right. I mean, I remember not that long ago, a couple of weeks ago, I went to the DMV three times, once to get a registration, once to get my driver's license, once to get my license plate. And each time I looked forward to going back because they were so nice. But okay, back to you. unlike the federal government, Blunt has some interesting things. They have a balanced budget. They had no tax increase, no use of fund balance, like a rainy day fund, and has paid off more debt and created no new debt. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, and I have to say, being involved with the Blount County Republican Women, I can't say that I'm that terribly involved. I'm not as closely watching a Blount County government or even the city of Maryville government. But that is something that I'm aware of. And I understand that the Blount County mayor, that was his motivation to run. And I don't, this is going to sound terrible, I don't even know how many terms he's had now. I know it's been more than two, but that was his motivation. Was, I guess, at one point Blount County was very much in debt and had, I think, 30 days worth of rainy day funds max. And so that is what spurred him to step up and run for mayor. And so I will give it, I will tip my hat to Mayor Mitchell and anyone else who's had a hand in that. That's not something that you can say for most cities in America or most counties.
No, that's exactly right. So when I come to visit Knoxville, which is about 3 hour drive away, what's a must see and where's your favorite place to eat? The station where you had your event, which we'll talk about in a minute, looks like a blast. I'll definitely check that out. But what else? What other must sees are in Knoxville?
In Knoxville, oh my goodness. Well, if you come to Knoxville, it's so funny. It's very spread out. As much of Tennessee, I've noticed that with Nashville as well. You have the metro area. Well, Knoxville is similar, but the metro area, as it were, is very small. There's really just one main street, although they are building it up. So that would be Gay Street. So if you come to Knoxville, Gay Street is where the Tennessee Theater and most of the restaurants are located. And then you have the New City, which is a great area that they've kind of revitalized. There are some great restaurants here. Honestly, one of my favorite restaurants in downtown is a Thai place called Phi Thai. And they're from Thailand, and it's absolutely delicious food. I'm not always in the mood for Thai, but if I am, then that's where I want to go.
Eastern Tennessee, who knew, a place for Thai food.
Great for them that they're making a go of it here. And actually, there are quite a few good restaurants here. I stay mainly in Blount County. Of course, you have the University of Tennessee here, and so tons of bars and restaurants along what they call the Strip on Cumberland, as well as up on Gay Street. So
coming from California and looking for a place that now you feel at home and call home, what drew you to the Republican Party long ago?
Oh my gosh. I grew up. I don't know how else to describe that. The first election that I ever voted in was in 1988. And I voted for Dukakis because I had registered as a Democrat because that's what you do, because they're the good guys. You know, I was completely unaware of anything political. That much I knew, right? The good guys are the Democrats, and the meanie old rich people are the Republicans. So I registered as a Democrat and I voted for Dukakis. And when, you know, 1992, I was married and had two little babies. And that there was absolutely no way I was going to vote for Bill Clinton. And so that had changed. Just growing up and having responsibilities and being an adult, that's really what changed my life view, as it does. I mean, once you have kids, your whole world changes. But it definitely changed my political view. And over the years, I've become more of a political junkie, so to speak. But definitely that was the biggest change within those 4 years, yeah. From 88 to 92, completely different person.
Makes sense.
And I voted accordingly.
So Blunt has been a Republican bastion forever, longer than we've been alive. The last non-Republican to carry the county was Teddy Roosevelt when he ran as a bull moose for some weird reason. Cousin Franklin lost all three times he ran, and Barry Goldwater even won it. So we are talking real red Republicanism. Went for Trump 71% to 27%. Do you still think, after all you've been through, that those principles little Heather grew up to love are the principles in practice by the party of adult Heather today?
Oh my goodness. I yes and no. Clearly the election, the 71% for Trump, reflects the values of the people who are voting. Is that what is reflected in the GOP? I don't believe so. And, you know, I think whenever you have an organization, you know, people are going to have different views, or they're going to have varying degrees of adherence to the platform or what have you. So that I understand. I think there's going to be some wiggle room there. But I did not realize the depth of just how deep the rhino mentality goes until this episode.
Like my old home state, Washington, lumber was massive coming out of there and the Great Smoky Mountains. Mm-hmm. Today, over 100 manufacturing plants and Dollywood wood are the biggest importance. Like Washington with the tech industry changing the demographic, how has that shift changed the politics where you are?
Again, you know, I can't speak in any expert level regarding the politics of the county. Now, Sevier County is right next door to us, and that's where Dollywood is located and what have you, which I strongly advise, if you come this way, you do need to go to Dollywood. It's a great place. But
I'd love to get her on here. Awesome businesswoman.
Oh, I just think she's a wonderful lady, just a good heart, and she has done so much for that community. It's just amazing for her hometown region. But back to Blunt County, I can't speak on any in-depth expert level from my observation.
Yes.
Yes, they have the part of the GOP platform as far as job creation and economic growth. They adhere to that very much. So in my opinion, as just a citizen of Blunt County, to the detriment of the area. And I think that comes from, you don't know what you don't know. You look here and you just see all the beautiful scenery, and it's kind of this sleepy, quiet area. I come from San Diego County, and development and overdevelopment that's just the reality there. Just when you think that they could not possibly build anything new, they find a scrap of land to build something on in San Diego. So I can see where it's heading, and it just breaks my heart. I hope that it does slow down. And I don't, in my my personal opinion as a citizen of Blunt County, I don't think that all of the development is very short-sighted as far as what type, like the Amazon warehouse. That they have several in the area. The apartment complexes, I don't see how the infrastructure cannot handle it. The traffic is going to get worse and worse. I mean, you have a lot of two-lane roads and things. So things like that, that from someone coming from an area that is overdeveloped and dealt with all of those awful byproducts of development, I see it happening here. And it may be 15 or 20 years. And I don't think it'll ever be as bad as San Diego. But it's like once it's gone, it's gone. Once you've poured that cement over something, that's it. Once you've, you know, cut those trees and you've plowed over everything, it's gone. You don't get it back. And people here, because they've never experienced that before, I don't think everybody gets that reality. They don't quite understand that because they have nothing to compare it to.
Yeah, we don't want it to look like Manhattan
anytime soon. There are some people that do voice concern, but as someone observing it from the outside, it's like there should be much greater concern about what is happening there as far as the development.
Do the two colleges there, Marysville College and I think it's pronounced Pellissippi State, have the same problems?
Pellissippi.
Okay. Have the same problems of wokeness and medical abuse of children as we read at Vanderbilt and places like Boston and Seattle Children's?
Well, they don't have, they're smaller colleges. So Pellissippi is a community college, so state college. And then Maryville is a private liberal arts college. I believe it was founded through Methodist. But how close that still is or whether it's veered off, I couldn't say. It's very liberal. Shockingly so. I mean, I'm coming from San Diego and I'm in Tennessee, red Tennessee. And I would feel comfortable having a Trump sticker or whatever I wanted on my car. That still stands, but it is shocking to me how much liberal influence is here in Little Maryville, in Little Blount County. Where, as I said, Trump won with 71%, and I think that most of the people do hold those Midwestern, you know, hardworking Republican values. I think that is most people, but I'm telling you what little bit of liberal foot is in the door, it is they're getting a stronghold and it's shocking.
I did read a write-in candidate for Tennessee Republican Party State Executive Committee won, but was nullified by your mayor, Ed Mitchell. So not just what you're talking. Yeah. You want to say something about that?
Yeah. Which Ed Mitchell has nothing to do with. He's not part of the state government. He's the county mayor. So, I mean, that's where I don't feel that the government, whether it's the GOP, oversee, like the county GOP and what have you, and then public officials, elected officials, reflect the values of the people who live there. And that is a perfect example. It's a personal dislike, and why Ed Mitchell felt that he had any business writing a letter or voicing his, he can certainly voice his opinion. It's America. He's welcome to his opinion. But to voice it in a way, hoping to influence it, which is what I think he did. He didn't just voice it like, I don't think that Mark should be, a committeeman for this reason. He stated that as mayor of Blount County, not as private citizen Ed Mitchell. And that's the difference. And in my opinion, he had absolutely no business doing that. It had nothing to do with him. The race had already been run. The election was over and Mark won. He needed one vote and he got over 300 write-in votes. And the wishes of those 300 Americans who voted for Mark were thrown out the window because they don't like Mark personally. the powers that be don't like him. Ed Mitchell and Scott Golden and people on the SEC don't like Mark, and they don't want him there. And the fact that the election, and they knew he was running at any point, if he didn't, you know, dot this I or cross that T, they could have brought that to his attention. There's no reason why that was brought up after the fact, after the election, after votes were cast and counted and certified, is a travesty, in my opinion. It has nothing to do with whether you like Mark or don't like Mark, or you know who he is or agree with him. I think anyone who hears what happened to him understands how completely unfair and wrong that was. It was just wrong.
Yeah. A theme of this podcast, season one in Washington State and now season two in Tennessee. Mm-hmm. And thank you very much for coming on with me today. Has always been, what is a Republican today? So as former president of the Republican Women's Club of Blount County, what do you think they are now?
Well, I believe that the general public, your everyday Republican, does hold to heart the platform and, you know, especially here, I mean, the independence, small government, you know, you want to have your constitutional rights protected. You don't want those tread upon. And also family values, parents' rights, and also religious rights, that I have a right to go to church. And that's not going to be infringed upon. And I'm not going to be forced to any type of medical treatment or experiment against my will. So the platform definitely is alive and well with the people of Blount County. It's the powers that be that have complete disregard for it. Or they probably never, I don't know what it is, if they've never read it or they just are out of touch. What motivates that? But there's a definite disconnect between the two.
How tied into the RNC are the Blount County Republicans, or do they have their own style?
Oh, gosh. I mean, it really is going to be from state to state. You know, I think that, again, in any organization, you're going to have egos and, you know, not everyone is going to be there for the best of reasons. Not everyone has pure intentions. So I can't speak to who's in the RNC. You know, and whether that's reflected in Blount County. But I can say for Blount County, there's an absolute disconnect between the GOP and the voters. And at first I just thought, well, are these people just very busy? Because of course, all of those positions within, you know, both the county chair and the executive committee, and then, you know, the precincts and so on, those are all volunteer positions. No one is paid. So people have lives, they have careers, they're busy. And so I had discounted the apathy initially as these are busy people. And maybe they just don't seem to see the big picture. They've been here so long. And now that I'm on the other side of what I went through, I realize they just don't care. Right. It's more than apathy. It's almost a disdain for the will of everyone else. So it's like a little private club, and they have all their friends, and then you have the nepotism and the, you know, I'm going to do this, you know, the backslapping, what have you. And that is the makeup of the Blount County GOP. They don't want anybody else in there. They don't want to grow it. They don't want input from anyone, it's like, fine, have whatever club you want, but you have absolutely no right to commandeer the elective process. That doesn't belong to you. The GOP does not belong to you. Those positions don't belong to you personally. They belong to we the people. You're there to represent us. And the fact that they do not, and they have no desire to, is grotesque to me.
Yeah.
As a Republican, I'm still a Republican. I don't want to be a libertarian. I don't want to be an independent. I want to remain a Republican. I want my GOP back.
I saw making news today.
I want my GOP to be in line with my values, which my values are in line with the platform.
Yeah, that's for sure. And I saw making news today, Jason Zachary from Knoxville wrote a letter to Vanderbilt Medical Center to stop performing gender transition surgeries for minors and request that all conscientious and religious objections be honored. Good for him for leading that charge. He's from near you,
that's
right?
Awesome.
He represents you?
That name is familiar. At the moment, it escapes me. But yeah, good for him. I think that that's really... I do want my GOP back. I do want those values back. We are a red state. We have the majority, but we need officials and we need, legislators that reflect that and who enact our will and what our desire is and the state of Tennessee that we want to live in.
And I agree with you 100%. I backed this candidate.
What's
back
happening
in my
at
old...
Vanderbilt is a perfect example. Is you have to have people who are willing to stand up, and to stand up to the giant, so to speak, and not be worried about a photo op or if this looks good or if it makes a good headline. You need people who have, who are courageous and conscientious. And do what's right because that's the right thing to do and not be concerned about how that's going to reflect on them later. You're there to do a job and you need to do it well. And we have a few people in Nashville at the State House.
All about. They are supposed to represent
but not
the
enough.
Voters. They don't. And I backed this candidate in my old home state of Washington, Vincent Cavallari. Listeners, if you're so inclined and can get interested in him, he needs help at cavallariforcongress.com, not the number 4, F-O-R spelled out. You can hear all about him, season 1, I think episode 9. But anyway, he's a Republican. Why? Mm-hmm. Because he's conservative with American first values. What are American first values? Mm-hmm. What's he want to conserve? Well, in his case, the Bible, the Constitution of the United States, the greatest political document ever devised for liberty, Americanism, which is life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, right? So who is that bad for? These Dems, and I'm sorry to say rhinos you're talking about, are trying to strip all this happiness away. And I feel bad for them to have to make that sales pitch because it's so perfect for everyone, not just gun nuts and Bible thumpers, everyone blessed to be a legal citizen. But the RNC is so stupid, he gets zero support, no money. Campaigns are expensive, man, and his opponent is worth $100 million, and his Republican candidates next door, a guy named Joe Kent, on Fox News all the time, free advertising, beat a rhino that voted for impeachment of Trump and lost her primary for it in the primary, and another named Matt Walsh that beat 7 challengers, some with better name recognition, because they too say they believe in America first, conservatives' ideals, preserve our inalienable God-given rights. I'm going through all this because the example of the one that beat the impeachment voting Republican is like Vincent running to flip a Nancy Pelosi 10-year blue Dem in a reddish district, and the establishment RNC has done nothing for them. The county party has done a good job, but, and I thought about the after the primary was over and the candidates were whittled down, things would change. But what is the deal with national GOP leadership? I can't get excited about a speaker, Kevin McCarthy, although I would be happy to see Nancy retire. And
oh, my goodness. I'm not excited about that either. And that's what I'm thinking, is somebody going to come in and, take a look at Tennessee and say, wait a second, what's happening here? Because what happened to me in Blount County by the Tennessee Federation of Republican Women, which the Tennessee chapter is a state organization under the umbrella of the National Federation of Republican Women, which is sanctioned by the GOP. They're like the official gal group of the GOP. Nobody's saying, hey, wait, time out. This isn't. So my concern is the same. I don't know if they're asleep at the wheel or they don't know what's happening. you know, if their values have shifted or if they're as out of touch as what I'm witnessing in Blount County. And, you know, what you said so eloquently regarding our Constitution and our protected rights, and my gosh, the Declaration of Independence that declared, you know, we do have a right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And you asked why I was Republican. Because it makes sense. It's between the two, it's the one that most takes into account human nature. How do you bring out the best in people? In the conservative values, that is how you bring out the best in people. You know, you stand back and you let them do what they need to do. You let them be responsible for their own trajectory of their life. That you let them protect their families. You let them let a person make a living. That's where you get your self-esteem and feeling good about yourself and having a purpose, having a reason to wake up in the morning. That's what you get from having a job rather than getting a welfare check or getting a COVID payment that everybody was getting. There's a reason why it works. And so I am a Republican and I believe in conservative values. For one is I think that, as you said, there's the greater likelihood of a fulfilled society full of people when you have conservative values in play and when you're enacting those. And that's what I want. I want the GOP back, if it ever existed, that truly does embrace its own platform and embraces those values. I want a strong America. I want a strong border. I want a strong military. I don't want our military trying to export democracy to other countries and be in 20-year wars. But I do realize that we do need a strong military. I think we're safer when we're the biggest kid on the block.
Well, thank you for indulging me on that. That was a bit of a
rant. You're
sorry
welcome
about that, but thank you. Let's talk about your situation. So with 135,000 mm-hmm. residents, I believe, and a very Republican part of America, which I think I just made the yeah. case for, your group, Republican Women's Club, it must be a very popular club, I think. So how many members and how long were you president before resigning? Are you still in the club or did you resign membership too?
When I resigned, I assumed that I resigned membership. That's actually a good question. I'm just going to assume that the membership was was part of that. I can't imagine that I would be a welcome face at their next meeting. So the Republican women, that was actually one of the first social, you know, engagements or what have you. The first opportunity I had to really get to meet people here in Blount County when I first moved here. So that was within the first week. I moved right in 2018, in October of 2018. So of course we had the midterms and I happened to stumble across the GOP headquarters for Blount County. And I went in and spoke and I learned about the meeting, when the meetings were held and that there was this group, the Blount County Republican Women. I thought, oh, great. That's a great way to kind of get plugged in to my new community and to meet people. And that I can become more involved in a place in my life where I have the time to devote to volunteerism and what have you. And so that really appealed to me. So that was in 2018, I didn't attend every meeting. The meetings were only once a month. You know, sometimes I was busy or there was a conflict, so I didn't attend every month. I was sworn in in November for 2022. And I was sworn in initially as the vice president. And almost immediately, like within a week or so of being sworn in, the woman who was going to be the president had a conflict and she wasn't able to continue. Her husband was running for public office and she needed to focus on that. And there was in her opinion, a little bit of a conflict. So that's when I was asked if I would accept the nomination. So officially stepped into that role, I would say in February. So that was, you know, 7 months of being president. During that time, our membership went up 40%. I don't take credit for all of that, but I do on my own, but I do think that the direction that I wanted to take the group was definitely shared with some of the members, a great deal, I would say majority of the members, and I could see that with their enthusiasm. They were excited. It's like somebody came in and flipped on the light or woke everybody up. Up until that point, which I realize now that's the purpose that they wanted to serve, but it just served as it just kind of a placeholder. They do have food drives for the local food pantry, and they do some charitable things, which are admirable, and I don't want to take that away from them. But as a member, something that I observed was it just seemed like there could be so much more. And so I had chalked it up to, again, maybe people are busy or nobody had thought of that before. I don't know. So when I stepped into it, I thought, oh, my gosh, the things that we can do with this. And that enthusiasm was matched by, you know, the majority of the members there. And then the new members were ready to go, and they were excited. People were joining because they were hearing, hey, the club's a little bit, you know, it's a little bit different now, and they're actually doing things. So it was very exciting, and this is the first thing that I've done really that was political per se. So working on a campaign. So one of the functions of the group is we're the official face of the GOP in Blount County. I don't know how familiar you are with the state politics, but being a bona fide Republican, one of the requirements is you have to actively participate. And I know in Blount County, you have to come to meetings of the Blount County Republican women. That's how you have proof that you're an active member of the Republican Party.
Well, so we don't run out of time with you. This whole resignation came about because little Gary Humble, running for state senate at the time, he was my guest last week. Go back and listen to it, everybody, if you want to. Episode 4. See if you agree with him. But what did they find so objectionable about him that would cost you, who were doing such a good job for your club,
oh my goodness,
to have to resign?
And it's so funny because when I was first in office, that was one of my first thoughts. I'm like, I want to get somebody like Gary Humble to come and speak. Like, how exciting would that be? And he would inject a little energy and it just get people thinking about, because he's not in lockstep with everything. He is absolutely a conservative. And from what I can see in his actions and just him as a person, that he does hold those conservative values to heart and does, you know, live those as well.
And the Tennessee Federation of Republican Women actually threatened to fine, censor, or close the club over this. Who were they? The Tennessee Federation of Republican Women.
Exactly. Exactly. So, you know, he does butt heads, and if somebody needs to be called out, he's going to call them out. I mean, that's what Tennessee stands for. Is, you know, I would call him the Nashville watchdog, which we need. We need that. Every political body needs somebody watching them and making sure that everybody is doing what they're supposed to do. So, and informing us, that's the other thing, informing the public of what is happening, because we don't always look as closely as we should. So thank goodness for Gary. For Gary Humble, and then of course Brandon Lewis as well, a Tennessee conservative. So that was the issue, is that Gary, again, even though he is Republican, he absolutely is conservative. On paper, it looks like a perfect match
But
but
why
he's
did the
not in
Tennessee
lockstep with them,
Federation
and
of
he's not in
Republican Women
agreement with
step
them.
in?
And
Sorry,
what we have in the county are
Heather.
rhinos, and apparently who's running the
Heather,
Tennessee
just
Federation
for the
are
sake of
rhinos
time,
as
because
well.
we're running a little
So
low on time.
that was their upset with him, was
Sorry.
that he spoke disparagingly of other, he spoke badly about other Republicans.
Heather, I don't
and
want to
they
run out of time
used,
with you,
oh,
so just real quick, tell us about why the Tennessee Federation of Republican Women stepped in, and I'm
that
running about
was,
5 minutes.
Yeah, well, we're a charter to them, and they had stepped in. There was an email that was sent from someone from the Chamber of Commerce in Blount County. Not a member, has never, to my knowledge, ever been to a meeting, at least not one that I attended or presided over as president, Mr. Ted Boyette. And he sent an email to me and CC'd Tennessee Federation of Women President Linda Coleman and also the party chair for the state of Tennessee, Scott Golden, and just called me out. Why am I inviting Gary Humble? He's, you know, a horrible person, basically. He's spoken ill of Scott Golden because of the whole Mark Pulliam thing and other issues, I'm sure. And that's what like tipped them off to the fact that Gary was here. Now, mind you, no one ever contacted me from the Tennessee Federation, asked me what was happening, why did I invite Gary, what is he going to talk about. Nobody contacted me until I was called on the 21st. Gary was scheduled to come out on the 26th, and I received a call the evening of the 21st telling me that a panel had been convened to determine, basically to determine what my discipline was going to be, because I had stepped out of bounds by inviting the likes of Gary Humble to speak at our group.
So former Blount County Rep Vice Chair Ted Boyette, who is a former lobbyist for the Tennessee Chamber of Commerce based in Nashville, State
mm-hmm.
Chair Scott Golden, State, and TFRW President Linda Coleman agreed, quote, his offensive and incendiary rhetoric constituted a reason for rescinding his invitation to speak. What they really object to was, I think, his call for their removal, huh?
Yeah. I don't think that that Gary had ever made any comments regarding Linda Coleman. And I don't know whether or not they were in agreement with everything that he said. I wouldn't say that necessarily, but they didn't object to it either. I never heard from Scott Golden, which I didn't anticipate that I would, but I never heard from Linda Coleman. So whether she was in agreement with Ted or if it just was like, oh, wait a second, this you know, violates a bylaw because we can't have anybody who speaks disparagingly of, you know, about another Republican. And the word that I kept hearing in the phone call when I was getting the boot was controversial. He's a controversial figure and nowhere in the bylaws. And that's why it stuck out, because I remember thinking, I don't think I've ever seen that word in the bylaws, controversial. And and the woman that I was speaking with kept using that over and over. And it isn't anywhere in the bylaws. But
now Gary
Basically,
did speak ultimately, right? And he got more people to
yes,
attend than
did.
Might have otherwise
yes,
without the
absolutely.
Dust up. So it didn't
absolutely.
Even work for them, did it?
It did not. It did not. And I, so when I got that call, I was told leading up to that, there was about a week of pressure after that first email of, well, you need to censor Gary. So it wasn't for me to cancel him. It was for me to censor him, make sure that he didn't say anything untoward about another Republican, and he only said nice things about other Republicans. He could not mention anything about Mark Pulliam at all, like stay away from that subject completely. And, you know, just, oh, and also make sure that he mentioned the amendments and that everybody needs to vote yes on all four, basically parrot what other elected officials were saying, and just be nice and not say anything that could be slightly controversial or, and absolutely not going to do that. I'm not going to you know, censor anyone who comes to speak. I'm certainly not going to give Gary Humble talking points.
No.
I think he's
and I admire you very much
on
for
what
taking
he needs
a
to talk
about.
So that's what it was. And then it got to the point
left.
Where when I didn't buckle on the censoring, it was, no, you need to cancel him. And you, if you insist on going forward, then the club will pay the price.
Heather, I got 60 seconds left in me. It's a hard
Sorry.
Out here. What's next for
That's
you?
Okay.
Any seats coming open to run for yourself? Maybe Mr. Golden's job?
Oh, my goodness.
Start a new, true conservative organization? Anything?
You know, we have some wonderful conservative organizations in the area. I think what we need to do in Tennessee, in Blount County and surrounding counties throughout the state, is come under one tent, so that we have a stronger voice instead of these, you know, smaller groups that maybe don't have the impact for real change. So that's kind of where I'm leaning to. I think whether I'm going to do that or, you know, somebody else can take up that mantle. But I do think that that is something that needs to be done. Also working with getting better candidates and becoming informed voters. That's the other thing. We have a responsibility in this process as well. We can't just look to, you know, the party and government officials and point the finger and say, well, shame on you. You're not, you know, you're a rhino, or you're not this, or you're doing that.
Absolutely. Well, we're near the end of our
time
here.
We have a responsibility.
So tell our
well,
listeners and where they can find you, if they can, or follow you. And then
where they can find me. Well, I'm on Instagram, Fair Heather. So you're welcome to follow me on that. That's not terribly active. I'm also on Public Square. I'm actually I'm an ambassador for Public Square here in Tennessee. And on Facebook, I mean, Heather Fair, you're welcome to message me or contact me. I mean, that's honestly.
Great. Thank you so much for your time.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
This pawn shop ticket for this week's rent. Well, last week's check is already.
Welcome to the Steve and Steve segment of our show, where we cover what we just heard and anything else on my mind today. Steve, what'd you think?
Well, I think we've been having a theme, and we were just talking there in between clips. There's a theme that's going on in all of the people you've interviewed for the last dozen or so shows, both the Washington and now the Tennessee, is that old school cronyism is alive and well within the Republican Party. And I think we can see that on a national level. You and I were talking about how Pfizer kind of controls everybody back there. And now we're seeing on a state level, because we're interviewing so many interesting individuals who are activists, and we're discovering, wow, these people are actually a little corrupt. Yeah, because power corrupts. And when people get that taste of power, just watch the old movies. You know, Dukes of Hazzard. I mean, come on, Boss Hogg. I mean, why did they put that character in there? Because it's a truism. So I'm always astounded every time you have a guest on that talks about this. I'm like, there you go again. And then the interlopers, the real true conservatives like yourself, like your guest last week, like this individual today, the party hates them. They despise them, and they will do anything to shut them down.
It is. There's a real thing where the establishment or rhino Republicans against the true conservative, which happens to be the voters. So it's almost like a civil war inside the same party. And it's kind of ugly. And especially if there's going to be a red wave that everybody's talking about, we'd like it to be a pure red wave, not some diluted half-assed purple wave, if in my opinion. And I think that's what's going to happen where you live, Steve, sorry to say, but here it's something to fight for. So yes, she's great. And moving on, I want to talk about something else. It's not clear who originally said, as goes California, so goes the rest of the nation. but I'm saying no way. Listen to these recent headlines out of the Sunshine State. Average gas prices in Los Angeles rises to record high of $6.46 on $1.41 federal and state tax. California is closing its last operating nuclear power plant. Okay, so much for clean power. California votes to ban new gas car sales by 2035. Good luck, avocado and artichoke farmers, getting your stuff to market. California moves to ban natural gas furnaces and heaters by 2030. Good thing it's never cold or hot there. Grand compromise on California water wars in disarray. Newsom faces multiple lawsuits. California decriminalizes jaywalking due to alleged racial bias. So watch the cable car and self-driving Uber hit and run skyrocket. Here's what they said about that, by the way. It should not be criminal offense to safely cross the street when expensive tickets and unnecessary confrontations with police impact only certain communities. It's time to consider how we use our law enforcement resources and whether our jaywalking laws really do protect pedestrians, said Congressman Ting from San Francisco. So crosswalks are racist. They are sometimes painted white. Governor Gavin Newsom signs bill reducing penalties for sodomy and with minors. I'm sorry, folks, to say this, but I got to say it. Judges' discretion over sex offender registration in all cases involving voluntary intercourse between teenagers age 14 to 17 who cannot legally consent, and adults who are less than 10 years older. Another San Francisco congressman, Gavin Newsom, signed the bill. California Democrats passed bill protecting gay sex with minors. SB 145 simply ends that discrimination by treating LGBTQ young people the exact same way that straight young people have been treated since 1944. What? Another one. Newsom signs legislation making California a sanctuary state for transgender procedures. Newsom signs bill to police California doctors on COVID-19 misinformation. Bye-bye First Amendment, free speech, and informed consent in one stroke. Newsom signs bill restricting use of rap lyrics in court while while censoring doctors on COVID. Okay, free speech for rappers, not for doctors. While he was its mayor, by the way, San Francisco, back in February 12, 2004, was the first municipality in the nation to issue marriage licenses to gay people. Okay, whatever. But isn't that what we're fighting about right now with the overturning of Roe versus Wade? And back to today. Newsom's billboard campaign cites Bible to promote abortion freedom in bid for re-election. He wrote on these billboards, Mark 12:31, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no greater commandment than these. Amen. That is true, but not in this context. Pastor John MacArthur, my hero, warned Newsom his soul lies in grave eternal peril after having twisted the words of Jesus. All right, producer Steve, enough of me. Do me a favor, please, and play that clip of the boss for everyone.
To the wicked, God says, what right have you to tell of my statutes and take my covenant in your mouth? You cast my words behind you. And then God says in Psalm 50, now consider this. I will tear you in pieces, and there will be none to deliver you. The jeopardy is clear. But there is a closing verse in that psalm. He who offers a sacrifice of thanksgiving honors me. And to him who orders his way aright, I shall show the salvation of God. That psalm ends with mercy and the offer of salvation. And as the Church of Jesus Christ, with compassion, we want the governor and all who follow him and all who reject the Lord to know that no matter what they have done, he offers salvation.
Wow.
Okay. Yep. So that was a plea for the immortal soul of Gavin Newsom that's going in the wrong direction. Everyone should look up that sermon. John MacArthur is amazing. I've tried to get him on here and I'll keep trying. Okay. But last one, because the rest aren't bad enough. The Catholic League denounces Gavin Newsom's demonic love of abortion. Trashing the inalienable right of life of the unborn in the name of freedom is a master spin job, Dr. Donahoe stated, as is his attempt to describe the killing of the child as health care. This is not in bad taste. It's demonic. To advertise in other states for women to come to California to have their children killed in the name of God is demonic, Donahue noted. In May 2002, Newsom helped his own mother commit suicide, Donahue wrote, which helps explain his incestuous about the killing of unborn children. The night before he gave her drugs, I cooked her dinner, I hard-boiled eggs, and she told me, get out of politics. She was worried about the stress on me, Newsom stated. Okay, that's too bad. I'm not going to read about that. But this dude, Nancy Pelosi's nephew, I think, thinks America wants him to be president, a worse human being than Joe Biden, Hunter Biden, and Nancy rolled into one. So, producer Steve, am I wrong? Is this the man from Reagan and Nixon's and my old state of California, former mayor of San Francisco, that was first in the nation to legalize gay marriage? Is he the chosen one to lead our nation?
He's the chosen one to lead it astray. And I think God's allowing people to see exactly the kind of individual that people have allowed to be in there. He was revoked. I mean, and they did a revote, and he was revoted in. The people of California have, unfortunately, the ones that sat back, all the Christians who didn't vote, allowed this evil piece of human whatever to be in his place. John MacArthur is soft on this guy. I think Jesus would have something else to say about this man. And we'll leave that up to Jesus, but it's something about sons of the devil. And I think Newsom is one of those individuals.
And what happens in California usually happens in Oregon and Washington, and hopefully not here or the rest of the country.
Yes.
And, you know, his ex-wife, Kimberly Guilfoyle, is engaged to Donald Trump Jr. Bet she'd have some stories to tell. This isn't TMZ, but I'll try to get her on here. All right. Well, thank you for indulging me on that. I don't understand how you ever did without me. I don't understand how I bring you down to your knees. Welcome to our Thought of the Week. But before I share, I want to remind everyone to subscribe to Mill Creek View Tennessee podcast. Just go to Deezer, Spotify, or our iHeartRadio and hit the subscribe button. Or check out our new ad at thetennesseeconservative.com and click on our ad banner. Did I mention you got me to number 4 last week? Yes, you did. Thank you. Once a government is committed to the principle of silencing the voice of opposition, it has only one way to go. And that is down the path of increasingly repressive measures until it becomes a source of terror to all its citizens and creates a country where everyone lives in fear. Special message to the Congress on the internal security of the United States, August 8th, 1950, Harry S. Truman. And one more. My own opinion is enough for me, and I claim the right to have it defended against any consensus, any majority, anywhere, any place, anytime. And anyone who disagrees with this can pick a number, get in line, and kiss my ass. Christopher Hitchinson, brilliant guy, known atheist, which is dumb, but I hear he found Christ at the end. Hope so. Bless his soul. Well, that's it for this episode. Really hope you liked it. There are many more on the way. Write to me at millcreekview@yahoo.com, and I just might read it on the air. And if I may just say, may God bless 1,000 generations, your family and children, and their children, and their children. If we don't get back on track, it's going to be hard to ask God to bless America. Until next time, this is your host, Steve Abramowitz, Manager Director of Mill Creek Financial Partners. Peace in our time.
Children and the pumpkins at the county fair. They were looking for America.